I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. Even if you were not alive back then, you almost certainly know what happened 30 years ago tomorrow, April 26, 1986.
The Russians have revealed little during the day of the extent of the accident at a nuclear power station in the Ukraine.
The Soviet Union has admitted that an accident has taken place at a nuclear power station at Chernobyl in the Ukraine.
It was Sweden which first reported the concern to the Soviet authorities through its embassy in Moscow.
It was 2 days before the Soviet Union even acknowledged an explosion and partial meltdown at the Chernobyl nuclear power plant. But before long, it became clear it was the worst civilian nuclear accident in history. A cloud of radiation spread out over Central Europe. 350,000 people were evacuated from the area around the plant. And the UN estimates the radiation from Chernobyl will ultimately kill perhaps 9,000 people. Others say the figure will be much higher. The disaster also put the nuclear power industry itself on life support in much of the world.
Chernobyl accident has had a massive impact. It affected the public perception of nuclear. It affected how the politicians think about nuclear.
That's Vince Novak, head of nuclear safety at the European Bank of Reconstruction and Development. The bank's helping to build a massive $2 billion shell over the wrecked reactor so the cleanup can finally begin. It hasn't even started yet. Today, more than 1,000 square miles of land around Chernobyl remain officially uninhabitable, but about 100 people do live there.
Здравствуйте.
Здравствуйте. Здравствуйте.
One of them is this woman named Valentina.
Being separated from my family was hard, but I don't worry about my health. We don't fear the radiation.
Valentina is one of about 100 older Ukrainians, mostly women, who moved back into the Chernobyl exclusion zone after the disaster. Their stories are the subject of a new documentary called The Babushkas of Chernobyl. Holly Morris is the director, and I asked her, why did they go back?
Well, the short answer is a very deep connection to motherland and home. And that's hard to parse up against what we all know and fear about nuclear contamination. But as you get to know their story through the film, it starts to make more sense.
So this whole concept of wanting to be at a place they call home, I mean, how many generations back do these women and their families go in this area?
Centuries, and there's a deep, rich history there. Of course, these are people who survived Stalin's famines. And then after that, Nazis and all the atrocities swept through during World War II. And so when a couple decades after that, Chernobyl happened, they were unwilling to flee in the face of an enemy that was invisible. What you hear from the women when you talk to them is, you know, this is where our lives happened. I want to be at the graves of my mother and father and my children and be with my garden and be with my animals and all these things that they hold most sacred. And so they came home.
I mean, this was an exclusion zone, or as they called it, zone of alienation. It was prohibited to go in there. How were they allowed to go back 30 years ago?
After the accident, hundreds of thousands of people were evacuated from the region. They were often put in high-rises in the outskirts of Kiev or, you know, separated from all that mattered to them. In the weeks and months following the accident, they started coming back. And there, in total, were 1,200 returnees. They were turned back, but eventually the officials there said, we'll let the old people return home. They'll die soon, but they will be happy. And almost 30 years later, there's about 100 who remain inside the zone.
So today, this exclusion zone is 1,000 square miles surrounding the failed nuclear power plant in Chernobyl. In some of the scenes in Babushkas of Chernobyl, it's actually very pretty woodland. And that kind of, I got to say, it surprised me.
Yeah, when you first go there, you might think, as I did, that, oh, this is a blighted post-apocalyptic nuclear wasteland or something like that. But in fact, it's bucolic. You enter through a border and there's passport control and radiation control. But you get beyond that and it's quite beautiful. You drive through grasslands and fields and trees and wildlife. And so it's a strange cognitive dissonance going on because on one hand, of course, your Geiger counter may be going off and your dosimeter and you're on red alert in terms of the radioactive contamination. On the other hand, you're looking at a bucolic place.
If the life of a place is also about, to a great degree, the people, did you get a sense from these babushkas at home was this place and really more than the people they used to live with there?
Yeah, I mean, it's said that home is the entire cosmos of the rural babushka. And I think that's entirely true. And there are these aphorisms that slip from their lips all the time. You know, motherland is motherland. I will never leave. If you leave your village, your soul dies.
In your film, there's a scene of one of the babushkas you profile who visits the Chernobyl Medical Center. And a worker there says the women who stayed have outlived the women who left. Does the science really back that up?
This doctor told us it's true. Every single woman in the zone would tell you that's true. Anecdotally, it does seem to be true. But I think his comment was really important because by coming home, by being on their motherland in the homes that they live their lives in, they avoided, you know, suffering the trauma of relocated peoples everywhere. They suffer higher levels of alcoholism, unemployment, and very importantly, in this case, disrupted social networks. And all those things affect your health as well. So by staying in the zone or returning to the zone, they avoided the detrimental effects of relocation trauma. And of course, you know, when you weigh that against the very real downsides of radiation, you know, you have a complicated equation.
Yeah, no, well, I get it. I mean, we're seeing all these refugees pour out of Syria and waiting to the last minute, despite violent scenes, because it is their home. The fact that the exclusion zone is called Zone of Alienation, I mean, kind of ironic because the very first scene we see in your movie is of a babushka who's by herself. She's about to go fishing and she's talking to herself, telling herself about what she's got in store for the day. Did these women seem lonely?
Yes, I would say as the years have gone on, their numbers have dwindled. So a village that may have had, you know, 20, 30 people shortly after the accident now might have two or three. So it is a story of self-determination and survival and tragedy and humor, and it all lives together inside the zone.
Is that your kind of takeaway message after spending so much time with these babushkas?
I think so. My takeaway was interesting. I mean, going in, I thought, okay, making a film about Chernobyl, about radiation, this is going to be bleak. But in fact, in the end, the film became about home. In the end, home trumped radiation.
Holly Morris is the producer and director of The Babushkas of Chernobyl. Great to meet you, Holly. Thank you.
Thank you, Marco.